Thor was there.
Get Dwight!
Johnny said.
He's in the hospital, broken arm, bashed up.
He was also our best explosives man at the load. Get him!
They were still firing at the console, but he could use this time to organize. Dwight came. He had two black eyes and a plaster cast on his arm. He was limping, but he was grinning like a lighthouse. Johnny wasted no time.
Dwight, collect 2 1,000-foot rolls of blast cord, about 3 100-pound drums of liquid explosive, 3 of those port-a-pack drill rigs with 100 feet of shaft for each, and fuses and things.
What are you going to do?
Asked Thor.
Blow up the planet?
Johnny said.
You, Thor, collect every man here we had with us at the load and a lot of Chinese.
Stormalong was there.
Get ready to transport explosives and men across that lake,
Johnny told him.
The instant they are through with this first hour's firing, we've got to be ready to roll.
He scribbled a note for a communicator to give to Angus the instant he was finished with firing boxes.
You are going to lose all power for 2 hours. Inform us when you are through with this first run, as we'll be running motors and blasting. Don't start firing again until you get an all clear from us. Communicate with me by mine radio.
Men were being sent through the passage to the outside. Some of them were veterans from the raid and hospital cases. Dr. Allen looked on with disapproval, especially at Johnny, but he said nothing. Johnny got outside. It was daylight now, thank heaven. He could see what he was doing. He looked at the dam. Yes, indeed. Silt. There was silt splattered all over the place. What a muddy job this would be. Where the top of the dam had been broken, piles of silt lay there. There was silt all up the cliff sides, splattered as if with a gigantic paintbrush. Wet silt. One of the biggest dangers here was slipping and sliding. He had his mine radio on so he could be told when they were done with the first hour's firing. Men were running dollies out of deep magazines, getting explosives to a plane. Pilots were standing by. 2 mine passenger planes were loading personnel. A dozen Chinese raced into the powerhouse, equipped with big wrenches. They would need them to move levers and controls frozen in place for 1,000 years. Johnny walked to the dam edge and looked up the lake. He couldn't believe his eyes. He would have thought the plunge through the atmosphere would have destroyed more of it than that. There was the capital ship, a gigantic wreck, dug sideways into the silt, 5 miles up lake from the dam. And it was contributing its share to the disaster. The twisted, charred hulk was blocking fresh water flow to the dam. Above it, a new lake was forming. He got Dwight.
You pick about 3 men. Put them on a flying platform. Lay blast cord on the east side of that wreck and blow a new water channel around it. I'll give you the time to fire the cord. Get it laid and come back to me.
Dwight rushed off to find his men and more explosives. Johnny walked over to a point where he could see the opposite end of the dam. It was a very curved dam, its lakeside jutting into the lake like a half moon. Yes, there sure was water escaping. Because of the shape of the dam, a hard push of concussion against it would cause the ends to thrust much more strongly into the banks. The far end over there was firm enough against the cliff, but the bottom of the dam must have moved. Water was roaring out under that far edge like a gigantic fire hose. Possibly ancient cracks at the far base had been filled with silt until now, but the blast had torn them open. The only thing that would plug that was about 500,000 tons of rock dumped upstream from it. And this was no time to be dumping rock with blade scrapers and cranes.